I wanted to ask the question, how's your walk? You might say, well, what a weird thing to ask. But I want to ask that question and see how different people's walk were in the Bible.
Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpets, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." So Joshua, the son of the Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord."
After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, and some behind the Ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. "Do not shout, do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout." So the Ark of the Lord was carried around the town that day. And then everyone returned to spend the night in the...
Joshua got up early the next morning. The priests went and got the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets started out. They marched in front of the Ark of the Lord. They blew the trumpets. Some of the fighting men marched ahead of them. The others followed behind the Ark and guarded all of them. The priests kept blowing the trumpets. On the 2nd day, they marched around the city once. Then the army returned to camp. They did all of those things for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at sunrise. They marched around the city just as they had done before. But on that day, they went around it 7 times. On the 7th time around, the priest blew a long blast on the trumpets. Then Joshua gave a command to the army. He said, "Shout, the Lord has given you the city."
You might say, "What's happened to him?" Because that's not my usual sort of thing, is it? But we are there. So we'll go from there. I'd like to read from Acts chapter 8. I'd like to read... from Acts chapter 8. Acts 26-40. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest in all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Trust God will bless the reading of his word. I wonder if we could have a time of open prayer now. There's plenty to pray about, and I would just wish you to pray, and I'll conclude, if that's okay. So let's pray. Well, I've told you the theme of this morning, and if you hadn't heard me before, you might have guessed it from the hymns that we've been singing. Walking with the Lord, how's your walk? And I'm saying this as much to myself as I am to any of you. The fact of how close we walk with the Lord is reflected in our lives. And that's, you know, fairly straightforward. I was looking through the Bible at people who walked with the Lord. And if you're in the AV, the first reference to walking was the voice of God walking in the garden. No, I don't know how he did that walking, but that doesn't really matter, does it? The fact God was there. And at that time, things were looking good, and then suddenly everything went wrong. And since then, there's been a striving to walk closer to the Lord by individuals. So I was looking at some of the individuals that were there. The first one that I noticed was Enoch. Now, I don't know how much you know about Enoch. I don't know a lot. That's probably because there isn't a lot in the Bible about him. But, you know, do you know anything about Enoch? Sorry? Yeah, he walked with God. Yeah. He was, as I understand it, the son of Jared. And he was the father of the longest living man, Methuselah. And he lived 365 years, one for each day of the year. But all we read about is that he walked with God. Now, that to me is thrilling. That we don't know anything else about him, really. But he walked with God. What a tremendous testimony that was. And we read that he didn't die. God took him. That was the only other thing we read about. He walked with God. God took him. And we know very little else about Enoch. Some of you might know more about Enoch than that. But as far as I can make out, that's all that I knew from there about Enoch. But what a testimony that he walked with God. You know, we don't need to know anything else about him, do we? You know, that's it. And if we had that testimony, it would be great, wouldn't it? Another of my favourite characters is Caleb. Now, it doesn't tell us that he walked with God. But what he does say is he wholly walked after the Lord, or wholly followed the Lord. You know, and Caleb was one of those people who went against the tide. When the 12 spies went into Canaan, there was only Caleb and Joshua who came back with a realistic and accurate report of what was going on. It's surprising how we can go in and see the same thing and come back with a completely different report. I mean, the other 10 spies that went in came back fearful. You know, they saw all the problems. And some people are that like that in life, aren't they? They see all the problems and not many of the positives. Sometimes when some of us see all the positives, it's good to have a little bit of a restraining influence. But that's where it is. But Caleb and Joshua came back and said, no, it's a good land. You know, I mean, they had a bunch of grapes there that Tesco's would have rejected because they were too big. That two of them took to carry on their shoulders. You know, and it was a land flowing with milk and honey, just as God had promised. And then the crowd came back and said, no, too many problems, we aren't going to get over it. And Caleb stilled the people and said, look, our God is big enough. He's promised it to us. Let's go in and have a go. And the crowd listened to the other 10. You know, and that's so often true today, isn't it? That the crowd listens to the majority instead of whatever is true. You know, we find that in the media today. Truth is not necessarily the thing that is needing to be heard. Problems are heard, bad things are heard, good things aren't. Not very often. Anyway, Caleb stilled the people and said, we could do it. The people said, no, we can't do it. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. And it would have been very easy for Caleb to have said, I told you so all the time. You know, 40 years in the wilderness is quite a long time, really. And he was there. But it was repeatedly said that he wholly followed the Lord. Numbers 32, verse 12, it says it. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Joshua chapter 14. All of those, the words are the same. He wholly followed the Lord. Again, what a testimony. And I wonder how many of us could have that testimony. He managed to live the 40 years in the wilderness, and all the others who were around and took part in the judgment that happened when they decided not to go in to possess the land, they all died in the wilderness. Only Caleb and Joshua were left, and Joshua was 85, and he had been promised by Moses Hebron, one of the most difficult parts of the country. And he said, give me this mountain. I'm 85 now, but I'm still feeling fit and strong. I'm going to have a go. So I've got a few years to go yet, so I'm all right. But the truth is that he still went for the hard bit. It would have been easy for him to have said, you know, well, Joshua, we've done it together. There's a nice fertile plain that's nice and easy working. I could really do with that. You know, at my age, I could manage that. But he didn't. He said, give me this mountain, which God had promised him through Moses. And he was obedient. He wholly followed the Lord. You know, it doesn't say he walked, but it does say he wholly followed. And you can do that. And so that was another person. Joshua then, we had the situation that the youngsters read for us, which was great, where he was obedient to God. And as a result of his obedience, all the people of Israel marched round Jericho. Now, it must have sounded or seemed fairly crazy to do that. You know, walk round the city, blowing the ram's horns, not saying a word, and doing it for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they had to do it seven times. You know, they were walking, they were marching for a whole week, and nothing seemed to be happening. And then suddenly, they were told to shout, and the walls fell down. You know, now, that was obedience in Joshua's walk with the Lord. He, you know, it wasn't logical. It wasn't even sensible. And yet God had said so, and therefore he was obedient. And sometimes some of the things God tells us to do aren't necessarily logical, and they don't always appear sensible. But God gives us that opportunity to do that. And so we find that with Joshua, he followed the Lord. They walked around Jericho, and as a result, the walls fell down. You know, God was in control. And that's what we need to remember, that when we walk with the Lord and allow him to be in control, then, you know, we can be blessed as a result of it. It's not our doing. It's God's doing. And that's the important thing, isn't it? We go on from there. We look at Isaiah 40, and, you know, we've got our text there that we've learnt, and it talks about us walking in Isaiah 40, 31. And it talks about us walking, you know, and again, throughout Scripture, we are encouraged to walk with the Lord. And then we could go over to Habakkuk, one of my favorite passages in Habakkuk. And there it tells us at the end of chapter 3, it says there, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places. What a lovely thought. In the midst of all the disaster that could be happening, God's in control, and he's got to let us walk in high places. You know, we need to be encouraged by that. Scripture encourages us right through. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, Jeff did Micah not that long ago, was it? You know, it talks there about God desiring of us that we love mercy and that we walk humbly with our God. What a thought, isn't it? That's what he desires of us, that we walk humbly with our God. So often, we like to be stuck up in the high places, if you like, and in front and all the rest of it, and be known. But we're told to walk humbly with our God. And God will bless us when we do. That's how I find it. We go on, and we looked at that passage that I read, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I find that a fascinating passage of Scripture. You know, why should Philip leave a very active work where God was blessing in order to go out into the middle of the moor and see nobody? And the desert was far greater than that. I know when we went to the States, we came across one part, and I was looking at a field, and I imagine it was about 1,000 acres. And, you know, it was fenced, and there were 5 cattle in it. and it appeared to be overstocked. You know, there wasn't enough food in there for 5 cattle, I didn't think, in 1,000 acres. You know, it was vast, and you were miles from anywhere. And, you know, Philip was asked to go, if you like, miles from anywhere, along a bleak road. And sometimes you can think of roads that are bleak. I know that when we flew over to the States, I think it was the first time, we went over Canada, and there was this long, thin ribbon of a road right through the tundra, trees on either side, but there was nothing there, nothing at all. You know, how would you meet up with somebody there? But Philip went and did as he was told, and at that time, there was somebody coming along the road in a chariot, happened to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, that was immaterial, at that stage, anyway, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, you know, as you do. You know, it was just like that. And the interesting thing I note here is that Philip didn't walk. Did you notice that in the reading? He didn't walk. He ran. You know, how often do we run when God's given us a job to do and we need to meet with somebody? Sometimes we get quite happy to go the other way, a bit like Jonah, but he ran. And there was the scripture already prepared for him. He was reading it. He didn't have to find it. You know, it was interesting. And he asked a question, and Philip was able to explain it. But he pointed to the Lord Jesus from the point of scripture. He didn't go jumping straight in, you must be saved. He went from the point of scripture where he was reading, and he went and preached unto him Jesus. And God bless that. And we read that, you know, they found water, which again is an amazing thing to think of, in the middle of a desert to find water, and certainly deep enough to be baptized in is quite something. And the chap said, well, what does hinder me to be baptized? And he went and was baptized. And the result was that he went on his way rejoicing. He had been obedient as well. You know, and that's encouraging, isn't it? I just find it encouraging when people rejoice after God has blessed them. Conclude with the thought, the Emmaus Road. Gotta go there, haven't you, if you're walking. One of my favourite chapters. And, you know, those two were downcast. You feeling downcast? You know, they were feeling downcast. All their hopes, all their aspirations had gone. You know, all they'd hoped for with Jesus had gone. They did have a little inkling that some of the women had said that, you know, he was alive again, but they weren't listening too much to that. So Jesus walked with them. They were down. They were feeling quite sad. Very sad, in fact. But Jesus walked with them along the way. He didn't disclose who he was. And he talked with them. And there was one of the greatest sermons that have ever been preached. As he talked with them by the way, they were strolling along, downcast, shoulders down, head down, slouching a bit, walking pretty slowly, I guess. Things hadn't gone their way. Jesus came by, and he talked with them, and he opened up the scriptures we read concerning himself, starting at Moses and all the prophets. What a message! You know, terrific. You know, and it got towards evening, and they said, come on, it's towards evening. He made as though he was going on, but they said, no, come on in. Stay the night. It's dark. You know, and it was dangerous when it got dark. And they had a meal, and he broke bread, gave thanks, and their eyes were opened. and he disappeared. But they were rejoicing. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? You know, do you ever get those situations where you feel very close to the Lord Jesus in your walk in life and where you can feel his presence very much? And does your heart burn within you when that happens? I trust it does. Different walks. I'm going to read, if Jill puts up on the screen, a hymn that is in Christian Hymns. Oh, walk with Jesus. Wouldst thou know how deep, how wide his love can flow? They only fail his love to prove who in the ways of sinners rove. Walk thou with him, that way is light. All other pathways end in night. Walk thou with him, that way is rest. All other pathways are unblessed. Oh, walk with Jesus to thy view. He will make all things sweet and new, will bring new fragrance from each flower, and hallow every passing hour. Jesus, a great desire of we, to walk life's troubled path with thee. Come to us now, in converse stay, and oh, walk with us day by day. I trust that's our prayer.